here. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. To my left, the one and only Kimberly A. Martin. Happy morning to you, sir. Dan Orlovsky, pride of CT.
What's going on?
How are we doing?
Did Stephen A. move to Los Angeles?
No, it's because the NBA. They're doing it out of there. There's all this stuff going on.
I didn't know if he got, like, residence, you know. Something.
No, he has a residence, but he actually has to be out there for work, so.
Well, that backfired on me.
Good morning, Stephen A.
Good morning. All you had to do was ask the question, my brother. You ain't got to go on national television and speculate when I'm standing right, sitting right in front of you. All you had to do was ask why I was out here, but then
Marcus
just goes to show.
Me.
You wasn't really interested in the truth. You just wanted to throw some stuff out there.
No, Marcus wanted me because you and Mad Dog yesterday, Marcus, he's home, so you guys are coming. He had asked me to kind of make sure I had his back.
Well, you know, if you clicked on the channel yesterday in the 4 o'clock hour, you would have seen NBA Countdown on ESPN. Then you clicked it on in the 5 o'clock hour, you would have said NBA Countdown on ABC. Even though I was here in the morning, I was doing Countdown in the afternoon. Just wanted to let you know that.
Technically not true. If you clicked on ESPN at 4 o'clock, it would say NFL Live. But
well, I said the 4 o'clock hour. I didn't say 4 o'clock. You misquoted me. See, there you go again.
Really? This is how we're starting?
I got to rile him up somehow.
Okay, Chippy, let's get
it. I got to rile him up
Mission
somehow.
Mission accomplished. Good job.
After that epic fail in the wild card game where many said the Packers, Matt LaFleur, outcoached the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, Dallas has decided to stick with McCarthy as their head coach moving forward. Jerry Jones saying this, there is accountability for our results. I'm accountable for our results. The lens we use to view and evaluate Coach McCarthy is holistic. While we're all disappointed with the result on Sunday and with our playoff record, I am 100% supportive of him as our head coach and our ability to reach our goals. Earlier, Adam Schefter was on Get Up, and he had more on this decision. Adam?
With each day that went by without a decision, that told you more and more that the Cowboys were not going to go in a direction in which they would be firing Mike McCarthy. And there began to be whispers about it the last couple of days that Jerry would not be making a change. And I think he made it readily apparent in a couple of things that he said yesterday. Number one, he believes in continuity, stability, and that Mike McCarthy has the highest winning percentage in the regular season of any coach in Dallas Cowboys history. And as Jerry Jones thought about all of that and thought about the record in the regular season and thought about the blame that everybody shared in Sunday's disappointing loss to the Green Bay Packers, he ultimately decided that change at this point would not be a good thing.
And this is how Stephen A. reacted on social media last night to this news. You're hilarious. S.A., were you surprised that Jerry's sticking with Mike McCarthy?
No, I'm really not surprised. I don't think it's the best decision. I don't think it's the wisest decision. I think it's the wrong decision, to be quite honest with you. But I'm thankful. I'm grateful because it essentially ensures that the Dallas Cowboys will not be winning any time for the foreseeable future. Thank you very, very much. I mean, listen, I'm sitting up there and, you know, thinking about what we do on this show and what have you. Listen, the Dallas Cowboys, for me, are the gift that keeps on giving. Steven. They just don't let me down. And yet again, yesterday, I mean, I gave that look because it was basically what I just retweeted something that I had tweeted Sunday. And I just retweeted it again yesterday, okay? And I'm just laughing my behind off because I'm like, you just can't make this stuff up. They will not learn. And let me tell you something right now, to all the aspiring coaches out there, you too should want to be the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys under Jerry Jones. Because you see, if you work out in the regular season and you're decent, and you get into the postseason, and you never, ever, ever even have to think about a Super Bowl championship, because 13 straight trips to the postseason without a trip to the conference championship is what the resume shows, and yet you have the unwavering support of the billionaire owner of the most popular franchise in all of sports, worth over $9 billion, and all you have to do is get to the playoffs. I mean, can you ask for much more than that? Talk about job security. Just think about that for a second here. You got about 13 or 15 Pro Bowlers, whatever you said, whatever number you said it 15. Was, Dan Orlovsky. About 15 Pro Bowlers, right? You got about 15 Pro Bowlers. You get 12 win seasons, all right? You get bounced out. You understand what I'm saying? Before you got a chance to pass gas, but you keep your job. You keep your job. We're going to hold on to you. We value you because we're all accountable. We're all accountable, right? Jerry Jones is just weeks away from, or weeks removed, rather, from acknowledging that when you look at us, there is no question we have Super Bowl aspirations. We believe in this team. We've got faith in this team, et cetera, et cetera. And what do you do? It doesn't matter. And then I'm looking at certain things because I think it's important to point this stuff out. This is the Mike McCarthy he's keeping. The Mike McCarthy that coached the Dallas Cowboys in 2021, led the NFL with 127 penalties and had the second most penalty yards. Fast forward 2 years later, you got 115 total penalties, but you led the league in penalty yards. I didn't bring up clock management. I said penalties. Penalties is one thing. Clock management's another. Then you go out and you give up 48 points. You're down 48-16 with 6 minutes left in the game. In a game that you were favored considerably, by the way, to win in this wild card playoff round. And you walk away from that with a six-time champion like Bill Belichick out there on the market, along with a guy like Jim Harbaugh, and you deduce that we're in a great situation. Why? Because evidently Super Bowl championships are not the priority. Let me fool everybody into being competitive enough to tease the American public to say, hey, we too shall return. We got a chance. We got a chance. And then we're sitting here, and it's not even week two of the postseason, and you're already home. This is who they are. I just want to give a special thanks to Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys because, needless to say, I get to sit back for at least another 364 days and say, be patient. Just wait.
Just wait.
They won't let you down. And sure enough, this is what they've ensured. Yet again, we'll be back here next year with me saying the same thing to you, to the Cowboy fans out there. Howdy. How do you do?
Steven.
Can I give you a business? You should make a T-shirt that says, be patient, just wait, they'll let you down. You should make those T-shirts.
We won't let you down. Just be patient.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, fellas.
So I think this is I'm not surprised. I was surprised when Schefter broke the news initially. But the more I thought about it, I said, this is very much in line with how Jerry Jones conducts business. The question about whether this is a mistake or not, we will see. But I think for me personally looking at this, if I'm a Cowboys fan looking at this, I think it's a mistake for two reasons. One of the reasons is if Jerry Jones didn't even attempt to see if Bill Belichick through back channels was interested, I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you have to feel like that's a mistake because you have a coach, the greatest of all time, who is available. This is a wild offseason where you have Bill Belichick available. And if Jerry Jones didn't even attempt to figure out if this man who's won all these Super Bowls could come and literally take my team to the promised land, I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you have to feel like that's a mistake. Number two, if you're a Cowboys fan, I have to think you would think this is a mistake if Jerry Jones simply made this decision because he didn't want to go through the process of another regime change. And that's something, Stephen A., as you know, Troy Aikman had said to you on your own show, this is Stephen A. Smith show, he said that. And when Troy Aikman said that, my ears perked up because I said, that is not a good enough reason. I understand his age, but for me, when I think about relationships, when I think about marriages, because Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy, they're in a marriage. When I think about the future, when you think about marriages, you have to think about, am I happy? Is this going in the direction that I think it needs to? And if you have any doubt in your mind, but you say, you know what? It's not so bad. It's not great. I'm not really happy, but it's okay. What I know now is better than what I don't know out there. That to me is a failure. So if I'm a Cowboys fan, I am disappointed if those two things happen. If Jerry Jones feels like Mike McCarthy, I believe everything he said. This man, the reason I hired him is the reason I still believe in him. If Mike McCarthy sat in that meeting and said, look, first year of me running the offense, what did Dak do? He had his best season. Granted, in the regular season, but it was an MVP-type season up until the very end of the season. If Jerry Jones firmly 100% believed that, God bless him. Because I would love for somebody to love me that much and have that much faith in my ability. I hope for his sake he is right about this, because this team is too talented right now to do more of what it has been doing.
Yeah. I was surprised because I bought the lie. I bought the lie from Jerry Jones that there was nothing more important on earth than getting the Cowboys another Super Bowl ring. Before I go into my exact reasons, I have to apologize to both Stephen A. and Marcus. They've had the Cowboys pinned for 2 years now. Stephen A. has, and I used to think it was like a shtick. It's not. It's legit dead on that they cannot play in January. That's just, they consistently play well September to December, and they can't play in January. You're spot on.
It's not two, it's 2-8, and now 2-9.
29 years. And not Marcus two. Has repetitively said, well, the roster, Jerry Jones, they don't go make that big move to really put them over the edge. And I've kind of pushed back on to both those guys, and they've been spot on. I bought the lie when Jerry Jones said that that he stays up at night, and you can hear, if you walk through Dallas at night, and you'll hear him thinking about the Cowboys and getting back to another Super Bowl. I honestly believed that was the most important thing. It's not. The most important thing for Jerry Jones is comfort. He chases comfort on a consistent basis when it comes to the decision-making at the Cowboys. The second part of this that I don't understand, when in his quote he says, we're all accountable. Who is being held accountable? You're keeping the head coach. You obviously aren't changing the coordinator because he's the play caller. Your defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, if he doesn't go get a head coach, is more than likely going to be back as the defensive coordinator. And you're going to pay the quarterback who, in the last three off playoff losses, has been poor, even more money than you already had. There is no accountability. And Stephen A., like, I have honestly felt for the longest time that Cowboys fans hate me, like have a strong dislike for me. And maybe they do. I think it's displaced anger. I think they have so much anger pent up at this organization and the decision making and the lack of, we got to go do whatever it takes to go win a Super Bowl, that they take it out on everybody but the actual team or but the actual owner. So right. Do I think it's a mistake? I do. We'll find out in a year. We'll find out next January if it's an actual mistake. But I have no evidence to think it won't be.
Well, see, I got a friend, and it's interesting that you bring up that name, because I got one of my boys. He's based out of Detroit. I love him, but I block him constantly, and I don't listen to him about 360 out of the 365 days a year. Part of the reason is because he thinks he invented the game of basketball, and he doesn't even believe that LeBron James is a top 10 player of all time, which just shows his idiocy. And then the other side to it is that he thinks that he knows more than everybody else. And so he's literally texting me right now, and I won't say his name, because I know he wants pub, and I'm not giving it to him, even though he's my boy.
I'm not going to give his name.
He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it because he's being an idiot right now. Because what's happened is he's texting me right now, and he's expressing his vitriol because he's like, the Steelers, you're a hater. The Steelers, they haven't won since such and such. The San Francisco 49ers, they haven't won since such and such. He forgets that just over the last 2 days, Molly, I was talking about how it might be time for Tomlin to move on and to get another head coaching job. The Steelers have come up short. He forgets that I pointed out yesterday that the San Francisco 49ers haven't won since 1994. They haven't won a Super Bowl longer than the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl. The difference is they've been to 7 conference championship games and 2 Super Bowls, and the Dallas Cowboys can't get to a conference championship game. But he left that nugget out. You see, this is what Cowboy fans do. What happens is that they lean on the hyperbole. They lean on the fantasy. And they try to convince the world that it's reality. Right. And then when it comes crashing down upon them, it's everybody's fault but the Dallas Cowboy fans. I got one of my college buddies, okay? His name, I will say, his name is Mark Turner. Why am I bringing out his name? Because Mark Turner, literally, we the fellas, because some of our boys, we got boys that are cops, the DEA, all that stuff, right? We got them looking for him. They can't find him. They can't find him. Now, you hear from him every day of the week when the Cowboys win. They lost. We can't find him. It religiously happens. In the month of January, there's an APB out for Mark Turner, and literally law enforcement cannot find him. His wife won't tell us where he is. You understand? Yeah. He comes home sporadically in the month of January because he knows we're looking for him, and he hides. This is what happens to Cowboys. Only Cowboy fans do this. Everybody else will sit up there and fess up and own up. My team stinks. My team ain't get it done.
Right.
My team choked. But the Cowboy fans, oh, we are this. We America's team. No, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? No, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? And then when it comes crashing down, they hide. And when they come out of hiding, what they do is their venom and hostility foments. It grows. It swells up. And then they spit it out at everybody else like it's our fault. Yeah. And that's exactly what Jerry Jones is doing here. What Jerry Jones is doing is saying, look, I understand that we didn't do well. We didn't live up to expectations. But by God, we're not as bad as you think we are. We're going to be just fine. It's just a little hiccup here. We're going to be all right. Well, McCarthy's been there. It's been a bunch of hiccups. Jason Garrett was there. It was a bunch of hiccups. Everybody's been there since Barry Switzer left. It's been hiccups. But you don't get it. And like I said, that's why I sit back here and I go like this. You know what? Just relax. Chill out. You understand? Because they've ensured that the next year for me is going to be absolutely positively pleasant, because this is what they're going to do. You can book it. They can't help themselves. They're addicted to being let down. They cannot help themselves, Dan Orlovsky. They can't do it.
Allergic to prosperity is the same.
Allergic to prosperity. That's
all right. Let me push back on.
But they're worth more than any other franchise. Let's give them that. So as soon as they're like,
that's not
hey,
the point.
I lost,
that's
but
not
I go home and count
right,
my
that's
millions.
That's not the point.
It
no
makes
doubt.
Life a little
point.
Easier.
You think the 82-year-old's going home and counting millions?
Jerry is.
Listen, I'm just saying. Listen, if you're going to lose, then you
billions?
Go home and you look at your bank account, and then you're like, life's not that bad.
Can I push back a little bit one
By
more
way,
time?
By the way, time out. Hold on, Dan. Hold on, Dan. Molly, let me help you out here for a second. The bank account don't matter when you know the money that's there. When you know the money's coming twice a month or once a month, and you know you can book it and it's in the bank account, winners don't think about it. Winners don't think about
right.
it because you know it's there.
They're worth
You're
more than any other franchise. So they're doing something
but here's the,
right.
But here's the problem. 26 teams have made the conference championship since the last time the Cowboys did. Like, I understand Jerry having faith, but at some point, it boggles the mind as far as what's going to be different. You want to keep Mike McCarthy fine. You want to keep Dak fine. But will he change his approach when it comes to free agency, when it comes to the trade deadline, when it comes to the draft? What will be different?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what Mike McCarthy has to show for the season beyond just Dak had an MVP type of season.
But if personnel's not really their issue, right?
Well, that's going to be my
point.
They have talent on both sides of the ball. So either you need somebody that can coach them up better, or you need the quarterback to show up in big time moments. To me, that's the issue.
100%. Now, there are some holes on this football team. I don't want it, but that was going to be my point to Stephen A's friend, who the guy
from
that
Detroit,
he will,
that we
he won't
know
name,
who he is.
Right? Because I keep hearing this about the Steelers. All right. So first of all, everyone goes, well, Mike McCarthy, in to Shefty's point in the report, he's won 36 games in the regular season over the last 3 years. That has to be worth something. Sure, but he's won 36 games in the last 3 years with a quarterback who's played top 10 football. This year he was top 5 MVP. He's had an Offensive Player of the Year candidate at wide receiver. He's got one of the best young tight ends in football in Jake Ferguson. He's got 3 offensive pro, all pros on the offensive line. He's got a Defensive Player of the Year candidate in Micah Parsons. He's got one of the best secondary players in Trayvon Diggs. He's got a guy in Deron Bland who broke the NFL record for pick sixes. And he's got an NFL that leads the NFL in takeaways. So to sit there and go, well, my gosh, he won 36 games in 3 years. It's do you overachieve or underachieve? In many ways, this has been an underachievement. While 36 wins are great, compare that to Pittsburgh, who Mike Tomlin's had a coach with a Big Ben who was very much so at the end of his career, a roster that was depleted, a first-round pick in Kenny Pickett who has not played up to that expectation. They haven't had nearly as much talent as Dallas. Mike Tomlin has gotten the Steelers to unquestionably overachieve, where Dallas and Mike McCarthy has in many ways underachieved. So people got to stop bringing that dog trash comparison.
But they also have to stop acting like you, Kimberly, or myself is saying that Mike McCarthy is trash. He deserves to be fired.
Good coach.
We're not saying that. We know he's a good coach. We know 14 years ago he won a Super Bowl championship. We know he has playoff experiences. We know that when Aaron Rodgers was his quarterback, he coached them to a few conference championship games, okay? We know all of this about Mike McCarthy. It's not about firing him, as I pointed out on several occasions this week. It's about, wait a minute, there's a six-time champion out there on the market. Do you upgrade from that position? That is the discussion. I don't have a problem.
But
if Bill Belichick and Jim Harbaugh are not on the market, I don't have any problem with Jerry Jones keeping Mike McCarthy. But if you say that your championship is your focus, you're 81 years of age. You, Jerry Jones yourself, has spoken to your mortality and talked about what a concern it is because you're running out of time. And you see these flagrant errors when it comes to penalties, when it comes to clock management, when it comes to holding other coaches accountable and making sure that you're a fire breather so people are not prone towards making mistakes.
Stephen A., we got to go.
That's about mine.
We got to go. Mike McCarthy speaking live at 11. And we'll get that sound. But I just had the pushback on one thing. Jerry Jones, obviously one of the most powerful dialed-in owners. Maybe he knows that Harbaugh's not interested in going to Dallas or Belichick's not interested in going to Dallas. And maybe if he's not getting one of those.
That's not what he said, Molly.
I know,
that's
but
that's not
just,
what he said.
But he might.
Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, plenty of
but,
good coaching candidates.
But is
Pete
Mike,
Carroll.
But is Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Pete Carroll – enough of a bump up the same way that a Bill Belichick would be? Are you
sure bet better
than Mike McCarthy?
Can I quote
the
man accurately?
I think there's a line of demarcation, personally. To me, it was Bill Belichick.
Can I quote the man accurately? The man says, we are 100% behind Mike McCarthy.
Yeah,
I'm going off that.
People say all kinds of stuff.
I think those three guys.
Well, you said he's the billionaire. You said he's counting money. He can say whatever he wants. What you going to do? What anybody going to do about it?
I'm just saying.
Why can't we assume that he's telling the truth? Why can't we assume that he's telling the truth?
Okay. Either way.
Agree to disagree. I got to go to break.
This has got to be the most aggressive offseason, all-in offseason the Cowboys have ever had.
But we said the problem's the coaching and the quarterback. So what do they do?
To go win a Super Bowl, they need more pieces.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Anthony Davis can score, rebound, and clearly pass, too. Davis had 9 assists to finish one shy of a potential second triple-double in 3 games, and the Lakers overcame Luka Doncic's triple-double to beat the Dallas Mavs 127-110 last night. LeBron, meanwhile, had 25 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists to help the Lakers win their 4th game in 6. LeBron, however, guys, a little distracted post-game. Watch this.
Steady diet of, you know, plays, whatever they do. You know, they get a rhythm for that, so it's good. Pull it. Sorry. Pull it. Shoot it. Oh, good pass. Catch the ball, man.
How's Bronny looking in that game?
He's doing well.
How's USC looking?
They've been better. Shoot it. As long as we make shots for them, then, you know, teams will stop doubling them. So it's our job to make sure we're in the right position. Shoot it.
Wendy, that's hilarious. LeBron trying to do the post-game press conference, like coaching his son. We've all seen that through the TV screen. Your thoughts?
Well, first off, how cool was it that LeBron was live on ABC national TV last night and Bronny was playing live on ESPN at the same time? That's a great moment. Secondly, yeah. LeBron's one of the greatest multitaskers I've ever encountered. Molly, I once saw him doing an interview like exactly that. I was there at a post game where he's discussing the game eloquently, and he looks up and sees another game that is not involving his teams in the NBA and accurately predicted what late game play the other team was going to run to win the game and correctly called what defense the team should be in. He's got this ability to see a lot of different things at once.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're right. That is such a cool moment. I didn't even realize that the ABC and ESPN was happening at the same time, him and his son. And Wendy, maybe we'll see them play together in a couple of years. We'll see. But let's focus on the Lakers now. So after back-to-back wins against good teams, is this success sustainable, would you say?
So maybe. And I know that's not the strong answer that you'd like to hear, and the Lakers would like to hear a stronger answer. Darvin Ham has been all over the place trying like crazy, guys, to figure out a way to have this team be competitive offensively. I don't think I've ever seen a team that's a competitive team like the Lakers get boat raced in the first quarter as much as they have this year. And his latest move is to put his two scoring guards, Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell, in the starting lineup. This is how they started the season, and it was a disaster. They were getting blown out every first quarter, and basically he was forced to break Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell up. Well, over these last few games, D'Angelo Russell has come back to life. And this is really a core issue with the Lakers. They're one of the biggest things that's important with their offense, which is the biggest challenge on the whole roster, is that they are really reliant on D'Angelo Russell to deliver for them. And he is a high variance player in good times. Throughout his career, he can drop 35, he can drop 5. It's all over the place. For the last month, even more, he's been cold. So much so that he got taken out of the starting lineup and was basically, I don't want to make an assumption, but was basically brooding, pouting about it. He also had an injury in there and not talking to the media and hearing his name in trade talks. And then they had to put him back in the starting lineup 3 games ago because of another injury, this one to Cam Reddish. And he's been hot, and he's been awesome. And all of a sudden, Anthony Davis has 25 assists in 3 games, the most in his career. Yeah, he's passing the ball. Anthony Davis is having an excellent season. But it's because he's passing the ball to a guy who's making the shots. So, like, yeah, Stephen A., when the Lakers are at their top offensively, when D'Angelo Russell is hitting shots, of course they are a formidable team. But you just can't trust him from 1 week to the next, which is one of the reasons he's been involved in trade talks.
Absolutely. That's the problem. And I've been saying that for weeks. Wendy, you know I've been saying that for weeks. I'm not blaming it. First of all, Anthony Davis is playing like an MVP candidate. He's playing like a defensive player of the year candidate. He's been lights out. Major, major props to him. And his durability hasn't been a question mark because he's played damn near every game. He's only missed a few games this year. So give love and credit to Anthony Davis. Where it's due. LeBron is LeBron. And I don't care when he has an off night or whatever. The man is 39 years of age in his 21st season. He's still averaging better than 25 a game. He's still LeBron. And so for me, when you know that you can rely on those two brothers to do what they are doing, it comes down to you simply doing your damn job, which is why I said and I announced on national television, if I'm Jeannie Buss, if I'm Rob Pelinka, I grab some of these brothers, I take them in the car around Los Angeles, I make sure the weather's nice, sunshine is not, gray skies, clear skies, sun is shining and what have you, and be like, listen, how many places in America is like this? You want to stay here or you want to go back to Minnesota? You want to go someplace else? Because we ain't going to tolerate this. You got to do something. Now, it's not an accident that eight of D'Angelo Russell's team-high 29 points came off of passes from Anthony Davis, like you pointed out. When Anthony Davis gives him the ball, it ain't like Anthony Davis just started giving him the ball. He's been giving him the ball. It's just that he wasn't making shots. He was missing shots. When D'Angelo Russell is making shots, that makes their offense that much more potent and formidable. Why? Because it freed things up a little bit more for LeBron James, for an Anthony Davis. They can't, like LeBron said, they can't double. It's quickly on Anthony Davis when you got D'Angelo Russell to worry about if he's kicking the ball out to him. By the way, let's get Austin Reeve more involved in the activities. He came, played summer ball this year, obviously came into this season, didn't start off strong. It wasn't just D'Angelo Russell that wasn't getting it done. It was Austin Reeves who wasn't getting it done either. We have to literally call it like it is from the standpoint that if D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves play up to their potential, the Lakers could go on a run and could even go to a conference finals. Without those two doing what they got to do, the Lakers would be lucky to make the play-in. This is not a franchise that's about LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They've shown you what they can do and are willing to do. It's the other guys that have to step up. And two of those key guys are Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell. And by the way, you traded Rob Pelinka. You didn't trade, but you acquired Gabe Vincent in the offseason. I don't know if you should have let go of Schrader. Because guess what? Dennis Schrader, when he was on the team last year, I mean, this dude was an energizer bunny. He came off the bench. He could make shots. He was clutch. He could make free throws. He had moxie. He was tough. I would not have let him go. I would have found a way to keep him and run it back again. The fact that they don't have him and they got a Gabe Vincent who can ball but clearly has been injured and hasn't really played this year has really compromised their success as well.
Wendy, let me ask you this. Big trade yesterday. What impact do you think the Pacers acquiring Pascal Siakam will have in the East?
Well, look, Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton are going to fall in love with playing with each other because Siakam is a great transition up-tempo player, and nobody is better in transition than Halliburton, and nobody runs more almost in the NBA than the Pacers. You're going to start seeing highlights immediately, and they're a serious contender to be the number four seed, I think. You can look how tightly packed the East is. I think they've taken a major step forward. From a league perspective, though, Molly, I think the big takeaway from this is who did not get Siakam. Now, I think the Pacers were in the driver's seat on this all the way, and I think primarily because they have shown an interest in giving Siakam a max contract in the offseason, and I'm not sure that was the case everywhere else, and that made him a more valuable trade piece.
But
look at a team like the Philadelphia 76ers. That's a team that, you know, had the assets to trade for Siakam, and you add Siakam to the 76ers, especially if they don't touch their core, that's a hugely impactful move. I don't think the Warriors have gotten to the point where they're ready to make that type of move, but Siakam and the Warriors did make some sense. And so, you know, and it's important to realize they made this deal 3 weeks before the deadline. And there's a number of different reasons for that. I think the Pacers want Siakam in-house. They want him in-house when Halliburton comes back from his hamstring injuries so they can take off. I think the Raptors wanted to get Bruce Brown, who now could be retraded somewhere else. He's got an expiring contract. But it was also before you could get to the deadline where maybe the Sixers and the Warriors could have gotten involved. I think a shrewd move by the Pacers to close the deal now because that's what people in the league were watching. I don't think Siakam's move will affect the title race, but I think it could have affected it if we had let it get closer to the deadline.
Well, I will say this, a couple of things. Number one, if you're Bruce Brown, hope that the Toronto Raptors buy you out and you can end up back in Denver, because I think that that's where he belongs. I think that he would be in as a I'm just saying, there you go. You know what I'm saying? So this dude showed up in the playoffs in the finals, so I like him. But let me say this about Pascal Siakam. I like him a lot. I know he's a 22-point-per-game scorer. He shoots better than 50% from the field. Not a great three-point shooter. We get that about him. I know he brings some offensive firepower. Is he affecting the balance power in the Eastern Conference? Hell no. That would be Boston, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. I don't think he's affecting that for the Indiana Pacers. That's just my belief, even though Indiana has beaten Milwaukee 4 of the 5 times they've gone against them this year. And we saw Milwaukee last night without Giannis wet the bed in Cleveland. I'm not sleeping on Donovan Mitchell because I love him and I wish he was in the New York Knicks uniform, but I'm just not sold on Cleveland. So could Indiana elevate itself to a top 5 or top 4 spot within the Eastern Conference, giving folks like the Knicks and the Miami Heat a run for their money? Okay, we can make that argument, but as far as the other guys, I don't see that making that much of a difference. Let me touch on your point about Siakam as a Philadelphia 76er. If you're talking about keeping Embiid, Maxey, and Tobias Harris with Siakam on that squad, oh, I like that. I love the possibility of that. But I'm imagining that if you were to let go of him, somebody like Tobias, if you were to lose him, somebody like Tobias Harris, somebody that you would get in return. I want to bring up the name Tobias Harris on national television for this reason, because I mentioned it on my podcast yesterday, the Stephen A. Smith Show. Let me say this. Tobias Harris, a potential championship is in your hands. The way that Joel Embiid has been playing, combined with the way that Tyrese Maxey has been playing, the Tobias Harris that we've seen in recently, the one that dropped 32 in a loss, I think it was to Atlanta, the one that dropped 37 in a win over Sacramento, the one that dropped 24 the other night. If that Tobias Harris shows up with a level of more assertiveness, more efficiency offensively, all right, because we know he's capable of it, I don't think you can dismiss the Philadelphia 76ers because of the sheer dominance of a Joel Embiid and what havoc he can cause. So I'm not sold on, well, you know what? Tobias Harris is not this or is not that. Tobias Harris got skills. He's got size. He's got a perimeter game. He can post you up. He can average 20 a night anytime he wants to if he wants it bad enough. Nick Nurse has increased the pace. They're averaging 7 more points per game. They're still the same in defensive rating. They were fourth last year. They're fourth right now. All of these things get taken into consideration. It comes down to Tobias Harris being a bit more aggressive. This brother is not a scrub. I get tired of people talking about him like he can't play. Tobias Harris can play. He is not a scrub. He just has to take the bull by the horn and say, you know what? I look at Boston, I look at Milwaukee, I look at Miami. I think I got the potential with the way Maxey has shown up now that Harden is gone, with the ball in his hands, with Embiid being the league MVP candidate, the reigning league MVP, averaging 35.1 points per game, Molly. I'm Tobias Harris, all I got to do is say, give me the damn ball a little bit more and show out. And the Philadelphia 76ers could make some noise. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Yeah. Two things real quick. One, sure. I do think the Sixers could have made that deal, Stephen A., because the Raptors ultimately wanted draft picks and expiring contracts. They could do it without including Tobias. The question is, would they have been willing to pay him the max? And that's another thing. The second thing is, under Doc Rivers, Tobias Harris's role diminished. He only averaged 12 points a game last year, making almost $40 million. That's why people were against him. Nick Nurse, one of the first things he did, increased Tobias Harris's role. Scoring's up 5 points, and everything else, you're right on.
Yep. Currently, the Sixers are third in the East, and the Pacers are seventh, right behind the Heat. Brian Windhorst, you're the best. Gone with the win. Did you like that? It's a little cringe.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ooh, this is going to be good. Two of the most electric quarterbacks face off Saturday at 4:15 in Baltimore. Just get comfy on your couch this weekend, folks. The one-seeded Ravens host the fourth-seeded Texans as Lamar, Action Jackson, and C.J. Stroud look to put on a show. Baltimore, though, a heavy favorite at 8. Okay, I'm going to start with our quarterback. Dan, does Lamar have to win a Super Bowl to change the narrative?
Oh, 100%. Lamar has to go win the Super Bowl. Winning MVP no longer matters. Getting to the Super Bowl does not matter. I think, and hear me when I say this, Molly, Kimberly, Stephen A., and everybody, this is not pandering. This is not caping. This is the dead honest truth. And there's a little bit of insight to this. People that sound, or players that sound, look, and play like Lamar Jackson were never supposed to win Super Bowls in the NFL. In people's eyes, they were never supposed to win Super Bowls in the NFL. You weren't supposed to be able to stand on the podium and sound the way that Lamar does when he talks, or look the way that Lamar does when he talks, or play like the way that Lamar plays and win a Super Bowl. You might be good. You might win an MVP. There's people in the league, and they have publicly said, I don't care how many MVPs he wins. He will never win a Super Bowl playing quarterback. I don't care what they say. I think Lamar is very aware of that. I think Lamar is very aware of the, no matter what I do, until I win a Super Bowl, people are always going to think that I should have played running back. And that people that look like me, or kids that look like me, or come from the background that I do, or sound like I do, can't go play quarterback and win a Super Bowl in the NFL. Here's the thing for me, Stephen A., Kimberly, and Molly. We've had other black quarterbacks win Super Bowls in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes has won. Russell Wilson has won. Doug Williams has won. But when we hear those names at quarterback, we think throw first. We think a thrower or a passer first. We don't with Lamar. Most people think runner with Lamar. Most people think of athlete with Lamar. And for him to go win a Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, it completely changes the narrative around Lamar. It completely changes the narrative around that position when it comes to players that look and sound and play like Lamar, not only for people that are close to his age, but kids that watch Lamar. And I think their organization's very aware of it. I think their head coach is abundantly aware of it. And I think Lamar is very unapologetically aware of it, that he can't just get there. He has to win it.
I think it's very difficult to, for a lot of people, to be black in America and not understand that the same rules do not apply to you. Like, that's the reality, right? And so when you say Lamar is very aware of it, he understands. He understands. I was there in front of the podium at the combine when he was coming out, and the questions that he was asked, and I was so impressed with how he handled it, because the minute he stepped behind the mic, people immediately question why he was here, why he thought he could be a quarterback. Now, you have this season, where he's the clear MVP, and yet people will tell you, nope, Josh Allen should be it. This season, people will bring up, and Doggy and I get into it every Wednesday about Lamar Jackson, people will bring up that he's 1-3 in the playoffs, yet don't add the context of the fact that Lamar is literally a more improved version of the unanimous MVP pick that we saw in 2019. This is not a guy who has regressed. In fact, his game has gotten better. Every year when anonymous executives are like, oh, yeah, the league's figured out Lamar Jackson. Have you? It doesn't appear that way. Now, this weekend is a pivotal game for him. It should not matter. Let me stop. It should be enough for him to just reach the Super Bowl. But because of blatant racism, we have prejudice that's cloaked in this framework of traditional football is supposed to look and sound and behave like this. And just general, hey, when it comes to QBs, my preference is complete 6'4", stand in the pocket, just throw it. Because of all of those things, I think people discount Lamar at every turn. And people think I'm a Lamar apologist, but no, I'm watching a young man who, despite all the criticism, has risen to the occasion. When he was asked to do more with less for several years, Baltimore finally gave him weapons, and we're seeing him command this offense, an offense that's suited for his skill set, and he's allowed to flourish. People are still waiting for the but. So, unfortunately, he does have to win a Super Bowl, and that's what he intends to do.
Believe it or not, and I'm going to be very, very serious here. Believe it or not, the things that both of y'all have said, showering Lamar Jackson with all the laudables that you have showered him with, they're all incredibly deserved. They are right on point, and it still comes up short, in my opinion, compared to what I'm about to bring up. Dan Orlovsky, you sat up there and you talked about how he looks, how he sounds. Somebody that's like that wasn't supposed to be excelling at the quarterback position in the National Football League. I'll crystallize it for you. It's emblematic of the kind of racist tendencies that have been exercised when it came to black quarterbacks for a long period of time. So we understand that, right? Mm-hmm. Now here we are, fast forwarded to the year 2024, the 2023 season. To start off this season, week one, I pointed out on my podcast, the Stephen A. Smith Show, yesterday, we started this season with 14 black quarterbacks behind center. Okay, 14. We came into the postseason with 6 black quarterbacks. We are now with 4 black quarterbacks, Mahomes, Stroud, Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love, still in the postseason. No matter what you want to say about the black quarterback, we got to give Lamar Jackson credit for precisely, Dan, what you pointed out, what the obstacles were. Exactly what you pointed out, Kim, what the obstacles were. Yes, Lamar Jackson needs to win a Super Bowl championship. That is true. But why does he need to win? Because his greatness demands it. This season, 13-3 as a starter, 67 completion percentage, 3,678 passing yards, 27 touchdown passes, 24 touchdown passes, just 7 interceptions, okay? I'm looking at this right now, 10-3 record versus winning teams, 68% completion percentage, 21 touchdown passes, just 6 interceptions, a 106.3 passer rating, plus he's a former league MVP. Didn't play in the postseason the last 2 years because he got hurt the last 5 games of each of the last 2 seasons, okay? But he's healthy now. We're looking at him, and we have to demand that you're better than the 1-3 postseason record that your resume shows, because we know you are. But we also need to understand that at this point in time, there's such an incredible level of gratitude black quarterbacks throughout this league should give Lamar Jackson, because he doesn't quote-unquote look the part, because okay, he doesn't quote-unquote sound the
hold
part.
Hold that thought. We're
look
up
at the opportunities
it.
He's opened.
We're taking a quick break. We're going to come right back to this subject. Do not go anywhere.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.